Susan Eads, Jodie Loomis, Jessica Baggin, Christy Mirak, Gwen Miller. What do all these women have in common? They are all murder victims whose cases went cold for decades until they were finally solved thanks to a new crime-solving technique that is changing the game, forensic genealogy. But who were these women? Why did their homicide cases remain open and unsolved for so long? Who were their killers? And what was the link between each victim and her murderer? DNA ID sets out to answer these questions. My podcast looks at the original crime, the investigative work on the case, red herrings, potential suspects, and the evidence left behind by the killer. And it then examines how each case was solved by forensic genealogy and the connection that led to the fateful interaction between victim and murderer. In many cases, I speak to the detectives who cracked the case, and they give me insight into their methods, theories, and what went on behind the scenes. Join me every other Monday for a new episode. Be sure to subscribe to DNA ID wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode.
Crime and Crime Again discusses true crime content that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. This case was brought to my attention when close friends reached out to me and asked if I could cover their friend's disappearance. I highly encourage everyone to visit and like the Missing Kelly Brannon Facebook page, which I will link in the show notes. Please also visit the Friends of Kelly Brannon YouTube channel, which I will also link in the show notes.
I feel really self-conscious. Hi. My name is Kelly Brannon.
Born in March of 1984, Kelly Brannon grew up in a small town in New Hampshire. From the time she graduated high school, she set her sights on exploring and creating. Kelly hitchhiked across the country while she was filming a documentary she had in the works, called Tools of the Trade. She earned her Bachelor of Fine Arts degree at Mass Art and eventually went on to earn a Master of Fine Arts degree in Creative Writing from Goddard College. Kelly formed her own one-woman punk rock band called Baby Killers, a testament to her passionate belief in reproductive rights. A devoted activist, Kelly consistently stood at the forefront of any opportunity to speak out and stand up for what was right and just. She protested against income inequality at Occupy Wall Street, fought steadfastly for women's right to choose, stood with Indigenous water protectors at Standing Rock against the Dakota Access Pipeline. While on tour for her band, Baby Killers, Kelly met Eddie Emerson in June 2019 and they began a relationship. According to close friends of Kelly, and even Eddie himself, their relationship was tumultuous and, more often than not, unhealthy. The couple toured together in September 2019, and Kelly moved to Gainesville, Florida with Eddie in October of 2019. On December 26th of that year, Eddie was arrested after striking Kelly and leaving her with a black eye. They remained together after that, but not without frequent arguments and breakups. The details about the events leading up to Kelly's disappearance are primarily based on Eddie's accounts of what happened. He was the only person with her that night to tell the story. He's done multiple interviews with news stations and YouTube channels, which is where these details are coming from. On July 9th, 2020, Kelly and Eddie packed up their things into her Toyota Camry and his pickup truck, including Eddie's dog and 8 chickens. From a farm in Micanopy, Florida, they set off on a cross-country road trip, heading for Detroit, Michigan. The plan was to move to Michigan, purchase their first home as a fixer-upper, and have a fresh start together. The journey was supposed to have taken 15 hours to reach their destination, but just over an hour into the trip, Eddie's truck was having transmission trouble and broke down in White Springs, Florida. That night, the couple slept on the grass near a local gas station, and on the morning of July 10th, they were able to get the truck towed to an auto repair shop in Live Oak, Florida. That evening, while waiting for news on the truck's repair, they decided to check into a motel in Lake City, about half an hour away. The next day, July 11th, they returned to Live Oak and had lunch at a restaurant called Armando's. They actually became acquainted with the owner of the restaurant, and upon finding out that he owned property nearby, they arranged to temporarily house their chickens in a coop on his farm. Kelly and Eddie also ended up camping out at this farm for the night. According to Eddie, on July 12th, they left the chickens on the farm and traveled to St. Augustine, somewhere he says they had always wanted to visit. That night, they camped out at Anastasia State Park. Their luck seemed to be looking up by July 13th, when they found a replacement transmission for Eddie's truck. The catch? They would have to drive 3 hours to pick it up, and 3 hours back to Live Oak. With Kelly's car, they made the trip to Lakeland, Florida, picked up the transmission, and returned to Live Oak. By the time they got back in town, the auto repair shop was closed for the night, so they left the replacement transmission on the ground by Eddie's truck for the mechanics to find in the morning. When morning rolled around, however, they found themselves at another dead end. The mechanics told them that the transmission they had driven 6 hours round trip to pick up was the wrong part for the truck. They were, fortunately, able to get a refund without having to drive all the way back to return the part. That same day, July 14th, Kelly and Eddie returned to the restaurant owner's property and picked up their chickens. They decided it would be best for them to check into a motel in Live Oak for the night. Though frustrated by the unexpected turn of events throughout their trip, they were hopeful that the truck would be repaired within a couple of days. Around 6 p.m. on July 14, 2020, Kelly and Eddie checked into room 70 of the Sunshine Inn Motel in Live Oak, Florida. Not long after checking in, the frustration and exhaustion between the two came to a head. Based on Eddie's retelling of the events that night, Kelly suggested they bring the 8 chickens, who were kept in a large dog kennel during the trip, inside of the hotel with them instead of leaving them outside. Eddie says that he was hesitant to do this, as they had already made a tremendous effort to keep the dog hidden out of sight of the owners. However, Kelly was insistent, so they carried the chickens in their kennel upstairs to the motel room. Eddie admits that in that moment, he was angry with Kelly, yelling at her that bringing the animals inside was ridiculous. He recalls telling her, quote, "I'm sick of your stupid shit," end quote. After this, Kelly was understandably upset about the situation, and she left in her car. Eddie says that he simply went into the motel room and laid in bed. During this time, Kelly sent multiple text messages to Eddie, expressing hurt and anger at how he reacted and how he spoke to her. According to Eddie, his only response was to say he was sorry and ask if she could bring back pizza with her. Kelly did bring back pizza and a bottle of wine for them to share. When she returned to the motel room, Eddie asked for a slice of pizza, and Kelly tried to lighten the mood by joking with him, telling him to, quote, "do a dance if he wanted pizza." That was her sense of humor, and it's clear that she was only trying to lessen the tension between them. Eddie says that he did not respond well to Kelly's lightheartedness, so Kelly put the pizza and wine on the counter and laid down on one of the double beds. According to Eddie, he attempted to lay down next to her and give her a hug, but Kelly wasn't receptive. He claims that she responded with something along the lines of, quote, "you know I could have just gone to New York by myself, to Detroit by myself," end quote. He says that he then patted her on the back and said, quote, "you go to Detroit then," end quote, and went to lay on the other bed. Around 7:30 p.m. that night, July 14th, Kelly took the pizza and wine off the counter and left the room. She would never go back into that motel room. 15 minutes later, around 7:45 p.m., Eddie says that he went outside, hoping to get some pizza and possibly make amends with Kelly, but she drove away before he could reach the car. Eddie says there was a man named J.R. staying in a motel room next door who helped him carry the chickens back downstairs after Kelly left again. He let them out of the kennel to graze for a while, and soon after, Kelly pulled back into the parking lot and gave Eddie a hug after getting out of the car. It seemed that all was well between them at this point in time. As the sun began to set, the two gathered up the chickens to return them to the kennel for the night. Eddie says they were only able to catch 5 of them, and Kelly was insistent that they catch the remaining 3 before going to the motel room for the night. Eddie decided to go back to the room and go to bed between 8:30 and 9 p.m., but Kelly remained outside. This disagreement sparked another argument. Kelly was incredibly upset and sent several more text messages to Eddie while he laid in bed. Timestamped surveillance footage from the motel shows Kelly wandering the parking lot soon after Eddie says he went to bed at this point in time. Around 10:30 p.m., Eddie claims that JR knocked on the door, asking that he come outside to check on Kelly. She was crying and appeared to be intoxicated. According to Eddie, he went outside and took Kelly's car keys off of her waist to prevent her from driving her car after drinking. By his own admission, he did nothing to comfort her or ensure her safety. Eddie claims that at this point, Kelly was upset that he had taken her keys and accused him of stealing her car. She also sent messages to him, telling him that she would be reporting him for stealing her car. This was the last time that he saw Kelly. At 12:35 a.m. on July 15th, Eddie received messages from Kelly stating that she was leaving with her guitar, a bag of clothes, and her vehicle registration. He says that he responded asking her to come to the room and get some sleep, but Kelly refused, responding with, quote, "No, I would rather starve to death, jump off a bridge, or get eaten by vultures than share a room with you," end quote. Eddie says that his only reply was a curt, "Okay," before he fell asleep. Just over 20 minutes after her last message, at 12:59 a.m., Kelly left a voicemail to Eddie. This voicemail is the last known communication that Kelly had with anyone.
"Oh, great, you're sleeping. I'm so glad I got that message from you before telling me how you're sorry and you love me and how you want me so much and all that bullshit just to get my car. Well, anyways, I've rented my own room at the Sunshine Inn and I've reported my car stolen and told them who stole it. So expect cops knocks at your door and I will be right next door at my own motel room because I'm not allowed to stay with you because I want to see you pay. Oh, you get the benefit because you only look out for you. It's your money. It's just for you. But my money's for both of us, essentially, which is bullshit. And I should obviously definitely do the Detroit thing on my own or go to Iceland. Like, you are not a partner. You're not a partner. You turn on me a split second. You turn on me out of nowhere. And I deserve way better. I did nothing to be called a fucking stupid idiot. And I did nothing to be called a cunt. So, you know, I'm sick of your abuse. So go find... Oh, I'm going to get a car right now. All right, bye."
According to Eddie, he woke up around 9 a.m. on July 15th and immediately went downstairs to Kelly's car when he saw that she wasn't in bed with him. The door to their motel room is one that automatically locks when it closes, and they were only given one key upon checking in. Eddie had the room key. He had essentially locked Kelly out and gone to sleep. Her purse, including her wallet and her ID, were all left behind. Multiple witnesses from various areas of the motel placed Kelly walking along the highway with her guitar over her shoulder around 1 a.m. on July 15th. There is currently no known surveillance footage that captured Kelly leaving the motel that night at that time. That same day, Eddie says he traveled back to Micanopy, hoping to find Kelly back at their farm. She wasn't there. He says he then returned to Live Oak and contacted police about Kelly's disappearance. It wasn't until several days later that the Live Oak Police Department put out a missing persons bulletin for Kelly. On the night of July 15th, Eddie checked into a new room at the Sunshine Inn, planning to stay and search for Kelly on his own and hang flyers around town. Sometime between July 15th and 16th, JR supposedly offered to aid Eddie in the search for Kelly and led him to a walking trail in the area to look for her. Eddie says that he found this strange and out of place. According to him, JR offered to store some of Eddie's things in his room as Eddie was having to move his belongings around every day. That included a few guitars. When he went to JR's room on July 18th to retrieve his belongings before he left town, he discovered that two of his guitars and an amp were missing. That same day, Eddie was interviewed by the Live Oak Police Department for the first time. They also conducted a search of Kelly's car. Eddie did leave Live Oak later that day. Months later, in September 2020, another person who had been at the hotel on the night of July 14th confirmed to Eddie that JR had taken his guitars and had them pawned. The witness also alleged that the night Kelly disappeared, JR had been trying to persuade Kelly to go to his room with him, and that she had to keep refusing his advances. And that is really all we know about the night of Kelly Brannon's disappearance. When it comes to the events of July 14th, 2020, and the days leading up to it, Eddie's word is really all we have to go on. The Live Oak PD are remaining tight-lipped about their investigation into Kelly's disappearance. We don't currently know the details of any potential phone records from Kelly's phone or surveillance footage from around town that might have captured Kelly's movements that night. Kelly Brannon was last seen between 12:30 and 1 a.m. on July 15, 2020, at the Sunshine Inn Motel in Live Oak, Florida. At the time, she was 36 years old. She would now be 37. Kelly is a white woman, 5 feet 5 inches tall, and approximately 130 pounds. She has blue eyes, and at the time of her disappearance, she had shoulder-length black hair with gray streaks, and was wearing a white shirt with black shorts, and her guitar slung over her shoulder. Kelly's guitar is a left-handed Fender Stratocaster with the branding sanded off of the headstock. She has a tattoo of a letter A with a circle around it on her hand. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Kelly Brannon, please contact the Live Oak Police Department at 386-367-7463, the Suwanee Sheriff's Office at 386-362-2222, or Suwanee Crime Stoppers at 386-208-8477. Kelly Brannon has so many people who absolutely adore her and have been fighting so resiliently for answers for over a year now. Kelly is a kind-hearted, gentle soul with an imaginative spirit and a hunger for justice. On countless occasions, she has rallied and fought for others, and now she needs us fighting for her. Where is Kelly Brannon?
My whole life, and I don't have a man. No, I'll never be anyone's wife, 'cause I took the honey from the bear about to touch, and I gulped it all down just so I could win the race. Like love is not a competition, but it sure as hell feels like one. And I know I gotta keep moving my feet on the ground, 'cause if I don't, I'll just be trampled on. And so I've got to ditch the way and the hope that I had of you being my match. Oh, darling, oh, 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 darling, I don't think I've ever wanted anyone so.
Please consider leaving a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or Good Pods. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Crime Again Pod, on Instagram at Crime Again Podcast, Facebook at Crime and Crime Again Podcast, and on TikTok at Crime Again Podcast. You can also find the podcast on YouTube by searching Crime and Crime Again Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you in the next episode of Crime and Crime Again.